Anyway, we got a fun show coming.
We got a busy show. We've been missing for a few weeks, and we apologize to our loyal listeners. We've been busy here, and a lot to talk about, a lot to catch you up on.
Yeah.
A lot to do, and we figured we'd jump on here without a guest and just give you a little update. Pup date as well. We got Zara with us here, staring at us, begging for food.
Yep.
Or beer. I don't know what she wants.
Yeah, right. But who knows what she ever wants.
Yeah.
And we've also had a lot of feedback after our last episode, which was Eli and myself. People want to hear a little bit more about what's going on behind the walls and closed doors of Otto.
Yeah.
And while our guests have all been great, and we welcome any other guests to jump on the podcast if you fit the bill, we're more than happy to kind of chat between ourselves and talk about
a little bit more
about what we do here on a daily basis.
Hear about the two Jews wandering around the desert, what we're up to.
We're back in the promised land.
We're back in the desert.
Sweating our arses off.
Yep.
It's already 98 degrees here. Speaking of which, we had no spring.
We went straight from summer.
Yes.
It was a direct hit.
Yeah.
There was no warm up.
This is my first season where I've experienced a transition. Let's just say this transition was as fast as a shift of PDK.
Yeah. That was fast. There was no hesitation. This was not an SMG.
And then we're there.
Yeah. But
it's not a long throw.
Talking about PDK, we had two of our Auto Works race program GT4 Club Sports out at the track.
Mm-hmm.
And those run a PDK box, which is pretty interesting to think about because, you know, cup cars and all the factory Porsche race cars from 996 on have run some form of a sequential box, whether it was paddle shift or the, you know, big stick shift thing.
The 996,
I don't know what the right word is for that.
Was the last generation of H pattern.
Correct.
Which is so cool that you have a...
Those are really cool.
Six speed.
But
cup
the Club Sport runs a PDK box, which is awesome because it means it's predictable, it's serviceable,
mm-hmm.
it'll run forever.
You can drive in an automatic mode.
Yeah, you really can. So it makes it kind of an approachable race car for the non-professional racer.
Right.
For the everyman racer.
And the good thing is it doesn't feel you know, out of place on the track. And
I think that's a huge testament
to that gearbox.
Yeah, no, it doesn't feel underdeveloped whatsoever.
I mean, we know what that gearbox can do.
It honestly feels as good as a sequential.
Fantastic gearbox, yeah.
Yeah, it really does. So we had one of our client cars out, and then our Auto Works program.
Should talk about
home fleet.
The new number two GT4, which belongs to one of our really good members of ours.
Yeah, so we started the program with our first GT4, which is the one we own. It's a Guards Red Mante Racing Edition Club Sport. And
3.8.
Soon after that, we added a white 2020 Track Day Spec Club Sport. That special thanks to Isringhausen Porsche for getting us that. And we're probably going to add another two or three before the fall for race season. But right now, we're kind of gearing up the works program to do arrive and drive, race, transport, mm-hmm. prep, service, support, all of that fun stuff.
Turnkey at the racetrack.
Turnkey racing. And it's been a blast. We've had a great time with our partner Apex. And I think actually, for those of you listening that are local to the Phoenix area, I'm going to go run the Apex race on the 24th. And now that I've put that on the air, I think I'm committed.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, I was happy with my times last time we were out there. If I can do the same laps I was doing in a race scenario, I think we'll be on the podium.
Yeah, so. I think you'll do pretty well. I mean, type of the drivers you're up against, not to, you know, downplay them, but you probably just have better experience and better capabilities behind the wheel of that car.
There's a couple really good drivers.
Yeah. There's competition out there.
But I think the MR will outcar them.
Sure.
So we'll see.
Get it set up.
Yeah.
Get it adjusted for that track.
Yep.
And there's no such thing as a universal setup.
There's not.
There's no such thing. Don't ever let someone tell you that.
No.
You know?
Anyone who bolts on suspension and doesn't properly engineer the setup and dialing in the rebound compression, stiffness, et cetera, is lying to you.
Yeah, that's a half-cooked brisket.
That is. That's food poisoning. That is food poisoning.
Well, and the fantastic thing is, while the new GT4 on a track probably isn't that much faster, the fact that new one was set up for Apex versus yours, which
made a really big difference.
Not as tuned.
I think I'd even have a second or more in the 2020 versus my 2016 MR.
Sure.
And
sure.
The nice part about the 2020 is we had an extra seat in it, so we got to give a couple ride-alongs.
I rode in that thing. Yep. It was fantastic.
Yeah, that car's fast.
Doesn't sound near... I mean, who cares, because they're race cars. So, right. Like, a lot of the extremities that you would talk about in a road car that we are just, you know, bombarded with from marketing, you don't care about. But
no,
getting in that 2020, that 4-liter, it's a fantastic engine.
Yep.
But it's not... It doesn't sound good. It just doesn't sound like a screaming race engine.
I gotta be honest, there's only one thing you care about at the racetrack.
Yeah, it's just your... It's time and grip.
No,
and
it's just looking good.
Do you think you look better? Do you think you look better in the new one or in the old one?
It depends what I'm wearing.
Yeah, I got it.
Depends which underwear I'm wearing.
I took a few laps in the red one and I was looking great.
Yeah. No,
but it's a fantastic car.
I put Sam in the red MR and I gave him a couple rules, which were no curbs.
Yep.
And no going flat through turn 12. Because turn 12.
I didn't do either.
Yeah, I know. You did get a little loose in turn six. I saw you have a little a little code brown there.
It was fun.
There's
fun
a turn
to change my underwear after that.
For those of you who don't know, there's a turn at Apex where you exit turn 11 and it goes 11, 12, 1. And it's this kinked right hander where you're flat from the exit of 11 to the brake zone in 1.
Yeah.
And entering the brake zone for 1, you're doing about 115 around a right hand sweeper.
And you have a very, very short portion of straight track where you need to brake into
you have very little
left-hander.
Brake zone.
Yeah.
And last time I was out there, I was taking turn 1 in third gear. And this time I was taking it in fourth gear. And it just felt like a kamikaze attack over that hill.
Because
it's a downhill, off-camber, left-hand corner.
Here we go.
But it's, yeah, you really, I kind of went into that corner every time thinking.
It's also fairly blind,
here
too.
Here we go.
Because you're coming around where the tower is.
Yep.
And there's
and there's
wall.
A kink in the pavement there, too.
Front of your car lifts up.
Yep. Yeah, it's a really.
Yuntif.
It's a really you know what's interesting though? It's an unsettling corner in a car. It's my favorite corner on a bike there.
Interesting. How does it feel on a bike?
It feels like the pavement sucks up to you.
Okay.
Because it's downhill off camber, you feel like as you lean in, the pavement comes to you.
Huh.
It's a really weird sensation. That's actually one of the most fun corners on a bike.
It's actually an interesting thing to talk about, what that corner would feel like with four wheels versus two.
Yep.
And even, I mean... Since I've literally fractional experience on any motorcycle, road or track, zero on the track, literally maybe a total of 30 minutes on the road, I wouldn't even begin to comprehend what that would feel like on a bike.
I'm bummed it's getting hot because I'd like to run my bikes out there a couple more times this season, but it's a little too late for that.
Really schwitzing in the leathers.
Yeah, really schwitzing. So,
well, these GT4s are fantastic, and if you're someone who has, you know, a clapped out BMW race car, or you want that next step from your GT3 and you're not really prepared for the upkeep and maintenance of a cup car and you don't really want to pay
that. It's the perfect in between.
They're excellent.
The most expensive thing is tires. That's it.
That's right.
That's really it.
I mean, your car's been tracked so far 3 times.
In our hands.
In your hands.
Yeah.
Excuse me. In your hands.
Yep.
And you've replaced the tires naturally and you've serviced it once.
Yep.
Oil, fluids, brake fluid, and oil.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
That's literally it.
Just
this is no engine out bullshit,
nothing like
that.
Just did a system flush. It's, you know, change
it's
the
good
fluids.
To do.
Stop
it. Did
at
a little checkup.
Yep, exactly. It's just a checkup. But we're happy with the race program.
Yeah.
Hopefully, next episode, we'll have even more updates for you on that.
Yep.
Some stuff, now I got the beer burps. Some stuff that we can't talk about yet, but hopefully next week or the week after we can.
Yep.
The
suspense is killing me.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
All right.
Well,
I'm
kidding. No, I know.
You know how you keep an idiot in suspense? How?
I don't know.
I'll tell you tomorrow.
Because I'm an idiot.
But we did get our parts truck for the race program. This was an impulse bring a trailer purchase.
I'm very, very excited about this. I don't really get the heebie-jeebies about certain purchases, but I was actually...
Are you excited about this one?
Of course I am.
So
sick.
Let me give some background on this purchase because it's kind of fun. A friend of mine in Southern California is a off-road buff. He's the one who pushed me into my Earth Cruiser.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a Doka.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a variant of the Doka called the Synchro.
It's a Volkswagen, by the way, people.
It's a Volkswagen Type 3 Doka Transporter. So it's a double cab pickup truck configuration on a later Volkswagen bus, essentially.
It's like a Westfalia van pickup truck.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they made the regular version, and then they made the Synchro, and the Synchro was the four-wheel drive.
Gotcha.
And
regular
my friend,
version was like front-wheel drive or something?
I think it's rear.
Okay.
But,
whatever. Who cares?
Yeah, because the engine's in the rear.
Okay.
So a friend of mine in Southern California has one. He pushed me into the Earth Cruiser. I fly up to pick up the Earth Cruiser, and on my way home, I stopped and stayed at a friend's property in Washington, in eastern Washington, slept the night there,
yeah.
And he had a white Doka too. And he used it as a farm truck. He's hauling food for the goats and hay and, you know, shit, plants, and all stuff all over his property, and it was really cool. And I've kind of had a Doka bug since then, but it was one of those cars where you get obsessive.
Doka. Funny word.
Yeah, Doka.
What's the first thing that comes to your head when I say Doka? Doka.
Like a llama.
I think of, for some reason, I just think of like the Middle East.
I think of, yeah, I think of
Doka.
I think of a llama. I think of a llama in the Middle East named Doka.
Doka.
Yeah. Or hookah, hookah tobacco.
Hookah. Yeah. I think Bedouin.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Dokas.
So I get obsessed with the Doka. I do the deep dive on the Doka. You go searching. You go hunting. They're so rare. There was maybe a couple hundred synchros that came into the country. And it's such a niche product that you kind of forget about it.
Yeah.
Until this morning, said friend who introduced me to Earth Cruiser and Doka sends me a link for a Bring a Trailer listing, which is how it always starts.
And the best part about it was?
It was 20 minutes from me. It was next to where I was working out this
morning. This is the Bring a Trailer loophole. When you can find a really, really nice buy on there that also happens to be in driving distance. So you can vet it.
Private party in Arizona, so no tax.
Yep.
And I was there in 10 minutes to go see the car.
It's fantastic.
Sorry, I need to take a sip.
Sorry.
So I go see this truck. It's perfect. I drive it. It's perfect. And I go on Bring a Trailer today, and I had a 20-minute long bidding war in $250 increments before we finally bought the car.
Yeah.
Or the truck or the transport.
Anyone who wants to go on Bring a Trailer can look at the evidence.
Yeah, go look for, I think it's an 87, is that correct?
It's a white Doka.
White Doka. Let me look this up.
Her name is Llama.
I think our license plate should be Llama.
You ever watch Jimmy Neutron growing up?
Yes,
I did. Or is that a little too young?
No, I watched that. Let's see.
Remember Carl had that llama?
No, I don't remember that.
Okay. Carlton Ulysses Weezer.
It's an 86.
It whatever that llama's
It's an 86
name
Doka Synchro. The guy who had it had owned it for 31 years.
Yeah.
I actually knew someone else in his family, funny enough. And we bought the truck. So that's going to be our little Auto Works parts hauler. It'll be like in the old Porsche dealership days, they had these things running around as parts haulers.
And Rod Emery, stay tuned. We want you to put in a motor in it.
Yeah, we want
I'm kidding.
We want the Emery Rothsport motor in there.
How cool would that be?
I did see
that's doable?
Yeah. When I was at Road Atlanta, there was the guy who had
that bus.
Type 1 or Type 2, the earlier, I don't even know the designations, but the earlier VW bus pickup with a 993 in it. And that
Barrio
Ram 993 engine.
Jeez.
Yep. That was a crazy build.
It's like that guy who put that 930 motor in that van in Europe and was racing at a Spa in the Nürburgring.
Exactly.
Set it up.
Exactly. So, yeah,
well, that will be very exciting. And
so that was
fun. Can't wait to drive it.
That was fun.
Can't wait to use that then.
Yeah.
And put it to good work.
Yeah.
And it's air conditioning.
Sure. And this coming weekend. We wanted to talk about the Copper State. So we're running the Copper State Rally. It's a 1,000-mile rally through Arizona. Benefits the Phoenix Art Museum. And
great museum.
Yeah, and we're running the Emery Special, the coupe.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was a little bit earlier in the year, I probably would have run the Speedster. But I think in April, I'd fry. And I confirmed that.
I think you'll be happy with the pace of the coupe, too.
Yeah, and I confirmed that on Sunday because I made the poor decision to drive my 356 400 miles in a day from L.A. to Arizona.
You did it.
In the dead of afternoon heat. And the car performed
Triple-digit heat.
I didn't.
Yeah,
I didn't. I'd stop at every gas station I could to fill up on water and wring out my shirt. Yeah,
it's bad.
Yeah.
No aircon in that car.
No, and you know what? People do put aircon in them, and I feel like it's cheating.
Yeah, I mean,
a 356 shouldn't have air
conditioning. Don't do it. Just don't do it.
Yep. It's just not right.
Plenty of other cars are driving with air conditioning.
And those electric AC kits never work right. They never do. They really never do.
You said you had mentioned you had a little mechanical scare.
I did. Not a mechanical scare, because that makes it seem more menacing than it really was.
Okay.
But I had a bit of a laugh at myself.
And it was a schmuck alert.
I was the schmuck of the week, and I'll explain why. But there's this phenomenon with people who are car guys but not talented car guys who know nothing
right
mechanically.
Driver, not a mechanic.
Right. And that's me.
Yeah.
I
fit in that class as well. I can figure it out.
I don't know what to do with that.
Not much. I mean, I can change a battery. I can change a wheel.
Yep. Not our forte.
But, sorry. That's about it.
I had a
studied
mini,
advertising.
I had a mini mechanical achievement.
Yeah.
Which was Schmuck of the Week alert. I parked at a gas station to fill up, and I grabbed the bar in the front of the seat to move my seat back a little too aggressively, and I had popped the back of the bar off
and
of
the finesse
prong that holds it in place in the back of the seat. And I didn't know what I did. So I scooched back. I went inside. I hit the urination station. I grabbed some water. I came back. And I get in the car and I grab the bar and the seat doesn't move. Now, mind you, I'm short. The seat's all the way back. I can't reach the pedals.
And it's 100
degrees. It's
100 degrees.
And I'm sitting at a gas station in the middle of the desert thinking.
Cue the Curb Your Enthusiasm music.
I felt like Larry David. I was going to start screaming. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, what do I do now? Do I call somebody I know? Do I call a tow truck? Do I stuff things behind my back and just kind of lean down and do the rest of the drive like with blocks on my feet, you know, for pedals? I literally had no idea what to do. I'm starting to freak out. And thank you, Rod Emery. He left a toolkit in the car.
Fantastic.
And I did a little bit of analytical deduction here.
Yeah.
I lifted up both seats and I looked at both seat bases and I realized where the difference was. And I could see that stupid bar had come off the hook. Couldn't get it back on the hook.
Yeah.
I reached into Rod's toolkit.
So what'd
I
you
grabbed
do?
A screwdriver. I kind of bent and pulled and did this and did that.
Finagled.
And I finagled and finessed and the whole thing, it was fakakta, and then it worked.
And that worked.
And I got it back in and I got the seat forward and I didn't adjust the seat for the rest of the drive. I just got in and sat there. And I felt like king of the world. I felt like I had accomplished the greatest thing in my life by moving that stupid seat bar
I
forward.
Need to figure out a way.
Yep.
So, like, in these manual seats, I like manual seats. I think we all like manual seats. They're lighter. They're easier. But, you know, people get in. I'm sure you've been pissed off after I've driven your car.
Yep.
I'm a fraction taller than you. I
no,
need a little bit.
No, you're not. Let's clear this up.
Huh. I'm a bit taller than you.
No, you're not.
Dude, look at the pictures.
No, you're not.
Whatever. You sit a little closer towards the steering
there
wheel than
go.
I do, okay?
There you go. I like to sit closer. So
I'm
I can
not
be
that much taller than you.
I can be in better control than you are.
Fine. I sit a little further back. Maybe my legs are a little longer. My torso is a little shorter. But listen, I want to figure out some way where I can make a chalk mark of like where the seat was when you left it. So then someone, for example, we have a colleague at Otto who is a very tall woman. She's, Rebecca
Double our height.
Is very tall. She's two yids stacked on top of each other. And she gets in my company car, which she's more than welcome to use to run errands. And she moves the seat quite a bit. The backrest, the fore and aft, the steering wheel. And I can never, it takes me a full 24 hours to get it back to how I like it. But I'm not going to freak out.
I'd say
it
that's
is what
one
it is.
Of the most.
I want to chalk. I want to do a chalk mark.
I'd say that's one of the most irritating parts of car ownership is when somebody
when
moves your seat
sure.
and you can't get figure out how to get it back
sure.
where you want.
That's why the memory seats are fantastic.
Yeah.
A lot of our
and
members' memory seats, I'm the third memory seat.
Yeah. And you know what the worst car is? For adjusting seats?
Well, it's definitely something with like a bucket seat's easy because all you're doing is sliding.
No, but the worst, what is the worst car to try and figure out how to move the seats in?
McLaren.
Yep.
Any damn McLaren, new McLaren, 720S.
PhD to figure out where the switches
are.
Shout
out to McLaren. Let's put the switches
where
in
visible.
A normal ergonomic spot
where
because
visible.
Not everyone can do this weird transient like if I feel with my fingers the pattern of the seat on the bottom right of the seat that same shape if I imagine it is the like the shape
it's,
of the seat
miserable.
That's what they were thinking and it doesn't work.
McLaren has figured out one thing and that's how to make fast cars that perform.
I was gonna
well.
Say they figured out do one thing make cars that aren't like well built and aren't well thought out.
The quality is crap.
Yeah.
The serviceability is crap.
Otherwise, they drive
the
fantastically. Trust me,
shit.
600 LT is great.
The tech is terrible.
Yeah.
But they drive like a bat out of hell.
But, and also another redeeming point, best modern steering in pretty much any car besides the modern Porsche GT cars because they're hydraulic still.
Yeah.
You gotta give them that.
That's true.
You know, I don't know how they are able to keep doing that with emissions and such, because that is why hydraulic steering is
really
gone. It's because of emissions of the hydraulic fluid or something.
I don't know
about it in too much depth, but from what I'm aware of,
I wonder if it has to do with the number of units they produce, if they're below a certain cap.
It's possible. I'm also thinking their fleet average.
That's what
since
I mean.
They make, they made the P1.
Yeah, they make so few.
And since they came out with that Arturo, which is a hybrid now.
Yep, that's an interesting point.
I don't know. But hydraulic steering, it's still the best. I mean, Porsche with their electric steering racks and their GT3s, it's still amazing. But then you get back in a 997, you get back in a 964, don't get us started. And you're really, you know, you're driving the best of the best steering there is.
I'll admit something that I never thought I would say, which was, I got to drive a 964 RS and C2 back to back at the racetrack.
When?
When Richard had his out.
Okay, okay.
And
oh yeah, the Maritime.
Yep. And I never thought I would say I prefer the power rack of the C2.
Hmm.
On the street, all day long I'd take the RS because the feel is just unbeatable.
Hmm.
But when you get on the racetrack and you're fiddling around,
quicker.
The power steering is easier. It allows you to drive better because you can move your hands quicker and you're not working as hard on your hands.
Yeah.
And it really just does feel better on the track.
And I feel that way about your Slate Gray 964, which has power steering still, versus your RS on the street. The RS steering does feel better, but the 964, you know, Carrera 2 steering,
it's easier.
It's easier, and it actually gives you the impression that the car is as light as the RS.
It's true. It's true.
Even though once you start throwing around, you feel
the
extra
weight. It's amazing how much
mooching.
You can feel a couple hundred pounds.
I could feel
on
it.
That car. Yeah.
I think when you're in tune with cars and you've driven the portfolio of cars that someone like you or I have driven,
right.
It's you can feel it.
What modern cars feel light to you?
BMW 228i. Very light.
That's obscure.
Very light. The base 2 series. Not even. It feels lighter than an M2.
Really?
It really does.
Probably is.
I think it is because the engine's smaller.
Yeah, it probably is.
Modern minis like don't feel light anymore.
No.
Like at all.
No.
They just don't. They're little hefty cars now.
Yep.
Cars that...
The GT4 feels pretty light.
GT4s feel light. Any modern Boxster feels pretty light.
Yep. I'll tell you what I'm excited for.
What?
The Boxster Spider.
Hmm.
We ordered
I don't think you spoke about that.
And we're going to keep the color secret till it arrives. And it's paint a sample. And as you know, paint a sample.
Ooh.
And you know what? I paid extra for black stitching.
Ooh. Oh, and guess what? I have a very dear friend who lives in LA who just ordered a 992 GT3 PDK. And I said to him,
black stitching.
I said, Josh, I'll say his first name. He doesn't care. You need to do black stitching. He goes, what do you mean? I go, you pay extra and you get the black stitching. And
correct.
Guess what? He figured that out, and he's been thanking me. I said, don't thank me. I said, thank Eli. I was like, that's where I learned about it from.
Nothing that drives me crazier
in contrast
than getting into a car, and all your eyes can see is fucking stitching.
Right.
It looks like little ants crawling all over the dashboard in random colors.
Yeah, yeah.
And I hate it.
Yeah.
The inside
of
the car should be subtle, should be focused,
yeah,
and should not be distracting from the road.
Completely agree.
The outside color goes crazy as you want.
We're also not talking about a Michael Fuchs Rolls Royce here.
No,
we're talking about track cars, GT3s,
stuff
that should be more
low-key. When I see a car that has like a red exterior with like red stitching, it looks tacky to me. When I see a car that's green outside with yellow stitching on the inside, it just looks horrible to me. And I can't get my eyes over it. I won't buy. There are two things I won't buy. And that's a car with contrast stitching.
Or nose lift.
Three things. Nose lift. I don't like nose lift. And I don't like sunroofs.
I'm with you, man. I like cloth seats, too.
There's almost no driveway that you can put me in front of that I wouldn't be able to get in without nose lift, that I would be able to get in with nose lift.
We have a...
And...
Yeah.
At the end of the day, on a 911, it's a throwaway piece of plastic on the front of it.
It's heavy.
And you know what else?
Oh, you're saying the splitter.
The splitter that you replace.
Yeah.
You know what else?
$200.
You're going to hit it regardless because you're going to be driving down
nose
the street
lift
one
or
day...
Not.
And you're going to hit a bump that you didn't expect, and you're going to crunch that front
splitter.
There's
going to be a paint bucket in the middle of the road.
Yep.
Well, we had a member who recently purchased a GT3 from another member, actually.
Yep.
Great car, 6-speed.
Yep.
No nose lift. He was very concerned about it.
Yeah.
And when we went out for the test drive before he purchased the car,
he took it to
wanted
his place
to test it, and his driveway was, like, literally nothing. And we have a side driveway at Otto that is, our main driveway is very, very well suited for the lowest of cars, even race cars.
Yep.
It's actually custom angled for that.
It is.
But the other driveway is extremely sharp.
Yeah.
And I proved it to him on that driveway in that no nose lift car going at an angle. The cars are so stiff and torsionally rigid that even if you come up on three wheels, you're still going to be fine.
Yeah, you're fine.
Hit it at a 45 degree angle, you're good.
Yep. You're completely fine. And, you know, it takes a little finesse sometimes, but if you're driving that kind of car, I would hope you have that finesse.
I'm still thinking about the question, what cars, modern cars, actually feel light?
I don't even think
not that they actually are light, but do they feel light?
A modern GT3 RS does not feel light.
No, it doesn't.
No.
Doesn't feel light enough.
No. The Boxster Spider, I think,
911R. 911R feels pretty damn light. Feels pretty light. I mean, I think the controls are masking it.
It feels lighter.
I see what you did there. Lighter.
Lighter.
Yeah.
Do you know what a pirate's favorite letter is?
Yeah.
What?
Do you know what his favorite element in the periodic table is, though?
Do you know what his favorite letter
R.
is? R. Ah, you'd think it'd be R, but it'd be the C.
But his favorite element in the periodic table, my sophomore year chemistry teacher from Brooklyn, argon.
That's terrible. That is horrible.
He was a crazy guy.
My chemistry teacher in high school,
That's how we spoke.
That's literally, I will never forget that guy.
Take sig breaks.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Give me 10 minutes. 10 minutes after class. Just give me 10 minutes. I need 10 minutes, and then we'll talk. 10 minutes.
That's hilarious.
Rich.
His name is Rich.
Rich Goodman.
So I spent my junior year of high school abroad, and it's the best thing I ever did. But when I came back, I had to take a bunch of junior classes as a senior. And there were some classes that you had the option to take in my school, either sophomore year or junior year.
Yeah.
And I skipped them all sophomore year. And then I was in Spain junior year. So I came back and I took like sophomore level chemistry as a senior.
Yeah.
And
probably a great move.
No, it wasn't.
Well, for me, I'm so bad at that.
This teacher just tortured me. Because
really?
He was like, why are you in my class as a senior? And he graded me harder than
thought
everybody.
You were slack off.
He called me. Yeah. He thought I was a total slack off. And one day I went to his office. I said, listen, I need you to understand something. I said, I am a senior in your class for these reasons. I am into college. I don't want to be in your class.
Right.
I know you don't want me in your class.
Right.
Can we just do this amicably?
Right.
Like, can't we just figure out,
just give me a C and call it a day.
You know what? I think I got like an A- in this class.
I made that deal once with the teacher.
But I basically said, like, lay the F off me.
Yeah.
And I'll go easy on you.
Yeah.
And you know what? It worked.
I took one math class in college, statistics, freshman year, because I had to.
Yep.
And I'm so bad with numbers. I think I must be dyslexia or something. But I said to him, I said, if I come into every office hours once a week and you just give me a passing grade, I'll be fine with it.
Yeah.
He's like, you know what? Deal. Show me your effort. Show me your initiative. Fine.
You know what I did? Somehow when I went to college, I missed freshman math somehow.
Mm.
And it slipped through the system to where I didn't have to take freshman math. I was supposed to have to take freshman math for all of my like econ and business classes and stuff like that as a prerequisite. Somehow the system let me through. And I'm sitting with my advisor signing up for classes for my last semester of senior year. And she goes, oh, no. And I go, what do you mean, oh, no? She goes, what are we going to do about your math?
Was she Svetlana?
She was, fuck, what was her name?
Oh,
I don't
remember.
Nice foreign lady. And she said, what are we going to do about your math problem? And I said, what do you mean, math problem? And she says, you've not taken math 118.
You have an incy-pincy little math problem.
We have an incy-pincy big problem. And it turns out that basically, in orientation, I had taken some math test and flunked it.
Huh.
And not realized.
Okay.
And so they just kind of pushed it off to the side. But I had to take this math class, calculus, to get through college, to graduate. And she's like, your grade in the math test, you don't even qualify for the prerequisite to the prerequisite.
Do you want the air conditioning in your 911 law?
Yeah, she basically said I would have to take three more semesters of college.
Jeez.
To graduate.
What'd you do?
And I'm like, there has to be another option. She goes, there's a practice test in 2 days. Or excuse me, a placement test in 2 days. You have to get whatever it was, 65 out of 70 questions right.
Oh, geez.
In order to pass.
It's a big number.
And get into math 118. And I don't know how I did it.
You did it?
But by the skin of my teeth, I think I passed the exact number of questions I needed to get.
You cheat?
No, I didn't. Not on that. No. And
we'll talk after.
No, I didn't. And I stayed up for like 2 days straight, and this kid helped me study. And somehow I passed. And I made it into Math 118, and that was the most grueling class of my life. Because here I am, I've probably been 5 years without going into a math-only class.
Right.
Throwing me into calculus as a second-semester senior.
Yeah.
And I had this professor who just wanted to torture me again. He really just wanted to torture me.
Why do they pick on us?
I think I had like an 89.7 or something, and he wouldn't give me the A-. He was that guy.
What a douche.
Yeah, he was that guy.
Excuse my language.
And but, that really pissed me off.
That's not good.
No. But good. I graduated on time, which was all I needed.
Yeah. And back to cars, and speaking of numbers and math, there's a lovely E24 M6 BMW that you recently acquired.
No miles.
And let me tell you, from a very
for
nice
those
dealership.
Of you who have never bought a low mileage car, it's a fallacy.
Complete.
Because everybody wants low mileage these days.
Unless the car's brand spanking new.
Right. But you see these cars that are, you know, what we call time capsule cars. And what they really are is a car that's never been driven or serviced.
Right.
And you pay all the money for them, and then you have to service all of it. Because when things aren't driven, they fail.
Right.
And the best analogy I ever heard was, when you're sleeping, Sam, you're still aging.
Ever since I heard that analogy, I've been telling everyone that.
Was that
I think
from
that was Cereal?
Yep.
Thank you, Cereal.
Thank you, Steve Cereal. When you're sleeping, you're still aging. And it's the exact same with cars. You could let a car sit exactly where it was delivered, and 50 years later come back and you think it'd be in perfect shape.
None.
And no. Everything's wrong.
No, that's right.
Everything.
That's right.
It dries up. It cracks. It breaks. It leaks. Everything goes wrong. You'd be better off driving it nonstop for 50 years than you would letting it sit for 50 years.
Yep.
So here we have we have an 11,000 mile E24 M5. M6, excuse me.
Gorgeous color.
That's what happens when I'm distracted.
Gorgeous blue color. Not really sure the code
name
for it.
It's like a dark metallic blue. It's almost like an early Astoral blue.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
or like some kind of Baltic blue, it might be called, or I don't know.
Yeah.
Gorgeous color.
Or a tan interior.
It's a little chocolate-colored dashboard.
Yep. 11,000 miles, but now it needs everything. Water pumps.
Bushings.
Bushings. Lots of bushings.
It needs everything that the car would need.
Though. Over time.
Yeah.
Yep.
But those cars are known for the bushings to go, and that was not proper English. Those cars are known for having bushing issues.
Yep.
And strut issues.
Yep.
And it has a faulty fuel injector. So that's why it's very choppy in second gear.
Interesting.
Is what we've discovered.
Warped brake rotors.
Yeah, it needs new front brake rotors. All in all, the car needs around, rounded off, five grand of work.
Yeah, and that's what you got to figure. And it's a game of pay now or pay later.
Sure.
And you always pay with these old cars.
The thing is, though, if you want to enjoy it in the summer, and if you want to bring it up to Colorado and have a good time in it, it's probably worth your while to get it sorted.
No, of course. It's always worth putting the money in the right cars.
Fresh tires on it.
Yep. It's always worth putting the money in the right cars.
And once,
but
good thing the fluids are all good, though. The oil, the brake fluid, the coolant is all fresh.
Yep.
So the dealer did that before they sold it. But the hardware, some of it needs work.
Yep. As expected.
Yeah.
It always, low mileage cars always need love.
Yep.
And that is our takeaway for people listening to this podcast. If you are in the market for a car and you're looking for a low mile example.
I have a great sweet spot mileage.
Budget.
Too. 10 grand.
10 grand in service at a minimum.
I tell all my friends that who are in the market for cars.
Budget
now,
10 grand.
I said, you have 10 grand cash in your pocket after you buy that car?
Yep.
Make sure you do. Also, if you're looking for cars, great sweet spot. 30,000 miles, 40,000 miles, 50,000 miles.
30 to 50.
Excellent.
30 to 50.
That's great.
Because they've been through their first major service.
And I believe this was Cereal on another podcast. Cereal is like, really says some great lines.
Yeah.
The fact that if you can tell someone, I've owned this car for 20 years, I've put 40,000 miles on it.
Right.
I've experienced it. I've driven it cross country. And guess what? It still runs. It's still great. It's still perfect.
Right.
That is an amazing resume on that car.
The longer you've owned
fantastic.
It. The longer you've owned it.
It proves that it works.
Yes. Like the guy who had my Doka, 31 years of ownership.
Yep. How many miles are on that thing? I don't even know.
It's like 59,000 miles.
Oh, so really nothing.
Perfect.
On that engine, it's nothing.
You know what you just reminded me of? One of our friends in town had a 964 stolen.
Oh yeah, we should we should speak about this.
A little bit of time on this. If you see a white Carrera 4 964 with the license plate BXX7541
square mirrors.
Yep, it's got the flag mirrors and D90 wheels. It is stolen. And it was actually remarkable to watch this guy and his handiwork, because he walks up to the car with the key in his left hand.
He had a copy.
Left hand. Clearly had a copy. And my guess is somewhere where the car was serviced, somebody made a copy.
Yep.
And this guy, and the reason I think it was somewhere where they serviced it, because the guy was so familiar with 964s, you can see he doesn't fumble for the keyhole whatsoever.
No, he just,
and when he gets in,
slots it in,
he's looking to the right, and without looking, with his left hand, he grabs the interior door handle of a 964.
Yep.
Shuts the door.
Key
and with
in the ignition.
Key in his left hand,
in
immediately
gear.
Goes for the left-hand ignition, turns the car on, and within a few seconds is gone.
Yeah. Keeps the car in gear, turns it on, and goes like a Le Mans start, like the car was intended to do.
He didn't even let the car warm up.
Motherfucker.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've read there's mixed opinions on that.
About letting
it warm up? Some
people
say you get in the car, you let it idle for a minute or two, and then you just start driving it very softly until the temperatures come up.
That's what I do.
A lot of people say that letting them warm up, idling, is very bad for the car. I don't know.
It depends.
I don't know.
It depends.
I think if you have a race car, you need to let it idle and warm up a bit.
Yeah. And that's actually the thing about why I love my stupid Tesla as a daily driver. Is like
there's
when
no warm-up.
There's no warm-up. When I was daily driving my C10, the routine, you'd have to figure an extra 10 minutes in your drives at the beginning of the day, because you'd have to get in, fumble with it, get it to start, wait for it to warm up, then turn the AC on, then drive it very slowly for a couple minutes, and you'd really need to budget some extra time.
Yep.
Even a normal car, I give some time before I get on it. So
the racing Jetta?
Yeah,
the Polestar,
racing Jetta.
Put it in
is,
gear, we're off.
Yeah. Volkswagens have always had good engines for cold starts, though, because think about how
rudimentary.
Think about how little power they've made for so long that they had to build their engines to get in the car and go full throttle right away.
That's right.
And that's why they work. Yeah. 356s are like that too.
Yeah. Even like your SC, when I take it home, I start it, I let it idle for a minute, and then I baby it for the first 15 minutes, but I don't really let it sit.
No.
It's very happy to get going.
Yeah.
As you get it going, it's
once
good.
It gets moving, it's happy.
Yeah.
It gets happy. And we're getting to the point where things will be warm very quickly here in the summer.
Yeah, if you leave a car outside overnight and you get back in the morning, the water temperature is pretty much the same temperature.
Yeah, it's still hot. It's still hot.
Yep.
I'm not looking forward to the summer.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Deep breaths. Hey, you got your Earth Cruiser. You can go up to Flagstaff and stuff.
Do you have any grievances to air this week, Sam?
What do you mean grievances?
It's like Festivus. You ever hear that?
Like shit to get off my chest?
Just like things that bothered you this week that you want to vent about.
Oh, God. I have a water delivery service. You text me on a Monday telling it's going to come and show up and
cars.
It's not there. I live in Arizona. I need the fucking water.
I meant
Where's
cars.
The water?
I meant cars.
Finally, it came yesterday.
I have one.
Car-wise,
I dealt with some road rage on the way back.
Oh, today I tried to drag race someone in your Tesla there on a 488 Spider.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, I'll drag race 0-60 at the light.
Yep.
He goes, this thing will smoke you. He goes, how much? And I'm like, $50. I think he thought $50 was so nothing for him because he's in a 488 and I'm a little pisher in the Tesla. And he was like, he waves at me. He's like, forget about it. And I rolled up my window. I'm like, yeah, fine, screw yourself. And I just mash the throttle. And he gets to the next light. I rolled down my window and he's like, yeah, I'm glad I didn't race you. I'm like, dude, you don't know about this.
Instant
0-60, that car is not
instant.
Nothing can keep up with that car. 0-60.
You know what I did? I engaged in some road rage on the way home. There's a guy who cut me off. This is the worst. When you're cruising at a good 75 miles an hour and you're passing a semi truck and some schmuck passes you in the right lane doing 90 miles an hour and cuts between you and the semi at the last second to get into your lane.
Mother trucker.
And you know what I did? I just kind of waited a couple minutes and then I passed him later on and then I waited till I was passing a truck and he was in the right lane again and I just sat right off the left side of the rear bumper and I just roadblocked him for a good 20 minutes. And he's screaming. I can see him getting red.
Yesterday there was a great one.
Remember
that one yesterday?
Which one?
When we went with Big Dave and got the lumber for your bed of your truck. And there was that guy in the little Nissan Sentra, or whatever the hell he was, that black car. And he did something, and we laid on the horn. You laid on the horn.
Oh, yeah.
For 5 minutes.
Oh,
rightfully
yeah. This guy.
And he was so mortified.
He was mortified. He just stopped in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
What happened was we're in the middle lane.
Yeah.
And he's in the far right lane on a 3-lane road.
Yeah.
And he decided with no signal, nothing, just that he wanted to go all the way across all three lanes and turn left. Didn't realize that I was 6 inches from him on the left.
With cuts, mind you,
with lumber in the car.
Literally. A crap ton of cherry wood in a Tesla.
Special cherry wood, actually.
Yes.
This is really fun.
Drum roll, please.
We are doing a new cherry wood bed that our friend is helping us make for Tina, our 59 Apache restoration project. And this cherry wood was, what's the proper term? Cultivated?
I believe
cut down,
it was procured.
Procured.
From the
cherry orchard of Johnny Cash.
Very special.
And it sat in a warehouse for like 40, 50 years or something. And then
Ring of Fire.
Yeah. And is ending up in our truck.
It's going to be sick.
It's ending up in our truck. So
very cool.
We have a lot of this cherry Johnny Cash wood in our car. And this guy decides to cut right in front of us. No warning. Misses my front bumper by about 6 inches. And I think I gave him a good 30 seconds on the horn. He was so scared, he just pulled over to the right and stopped in the middle of the road.
And if you stop short, that cherry wood was going right into your Tesla screen, which is not automotive glass, as we know.
It was right through the screen. Yeah.
Right through it. That would have cracked right away.
Speaking of the Tesla.
Yeah, Schmeckens of Tesla. Oh, yeah. I have a grievance.
Sam is also Schmuck of the Week.
Today, I was going to pick up some lunch in the Model Y, in Eli's Tesla. And I always like parking in a spot where there's one less person beside me, so I park next to the curb. It's turning into the spot. Those Teslas don't have the best turning radius.
Excuses.
Definitely an excuse.
Me made friends with the curb.
And made out with the curb a little bit on the back right wheel. Definitely rashed it. I brought it right to our great tire shop here
Tesla
in Phoenix, Ultimate Tire.
Is cursed. You're the third person to curb that same wheel.
Yeah, not good.
And
yeah.
And I was one of those three, and it was the day after I was giving someone else a really hard time for curbing it.
That's right.
I curbed it going 20 miles an hour around a right-hand corner.
That's right. Well, you know, I haven't curbed a wheel in ages, yep. And I hate curbing wheels.
Do you know that when I was a lowly intern at Audi when I first started, my boss's boss, who was the head of the entire Western region, asked me to go pick up his new car from the dealership.
Nice.
And I went and picked it up and I brought
it
home. And the only car I'd ever curbed in my life at that point was that car. So I pull it into our staff parking lot and I just crunched two of his wheels. Brand new car, like 6 miles on it. I went to the dealership, picked it up, drove it home.
Reminded me of a story.
And I walked into his office and I look like I'd seen a ghost. I'm thinking, here I am, I'm getting fired. It's like the first week at the job. And I walk in and I say, Michael, I have to tell you something. And he says, what's up?
Wasn't Scott.
No.
Oh.
No, this was head of Western.
Okay, got it.
And I said, a guy named Mike Cagle, very nice guy. I said, Mike, I got to tell you.
What car was it?
It was a SQ5.
Nice. Probably SQ5. Brand new at the time.
Brand new.
First year of it.
And I destroyed two of the wheels. And I said, I curbed two of your wheels on the SQ5. I'm really sorry. I've never done that before. I'll pay to get it fixed. I really apologize. And he gives me this blank, cold stare.
He was pissed?
For like 20 seconds. He just looks at me. And I'm sitting there sweating. Pissed. I'm pissing my pants. And then he just goes, that's okay. I would have done it tomorrow. Just get it fixed.
That was nice of him.
Yeah, very nice of him.
Yeah, he liked that you were being honest.
Yep.
My first job with cars, I valet parked at a country club back in New York.
Is this when you valet parked for Trump?
I don't like discussing that, but I did work at one of his country clubs when I was
a
young whippersnapper. Never. He used to drive himself in his Rolls Royces.
Really?
And he would say to me, he's like, clubs are in the trunk, Baron's in the back seat, get him to the dining room, you know?
get him to the dining room.
And he'd just walk right into his own club. And he would have a stack of papers in his center console, probably 2 inches high, names and numbers, contact list. He would just leave it there. Swear
of
to
what?
God. Contacts.
Huh.
People, numbers, and names, and emails. Just like a printout list.
Did you ever look at them?
Never touched it.
Really?
I was too afraid to. Anyway, long story short, this is way before this was probably 12 years ago.
Yep.
And I had a CLS Mercedes, and I was parking it or actually no, I was getting it for the dentist who was walking out of the club, pulling it up for him. Same scenario with your Tesla today, next to the curb, except yep. I was exiting it, not parking in it. I cut it too close,
oof.
And the back right went over the curb, destroyed the wheel. He was pissed. He was really mad at me.
Yeah.
And he was like, it's a lease. It's not a big deal. But he chewed me out right then and there. Like, he was really, really, really mad.
You know what? I've had people screw up my cars before. I've had people get hit in my cars. And at the end of the day, I have one rule. If you just own up to it,
sure,
I have no problem.
It's a car.
It's a car.
Yeah.
It's when you lie or hide or make an excuse.
Yeah, and it makes it more difficult for everyone.
If you just say, I fucked up and I'm sorry,
yeah,
I have no problem.
It's much better.
I have no problem. And that goes for most things in life.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So, anyway.
On that note.
A little bit of fuel for thought.
That was good fuel for thought.
We'll wrap it there.
That was good.
Keep it short and sweet today.
Yeah. Ultimate Tire, thanks for taking care of the Tesla.
Yep. Yep. We'll get them to sponsor you so you don't have to take care of too many Tesla wheels here forward.
Yep. They're a good shop.
They are.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Gute Nacht.
Good night, everyone. Enjoy your night, your morning, whatever time it may be. And we will catch you on another episode of Fuel for Thought.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Fuel for Thought. To listen to even more great stories from our special guests, make sure to subscribe to FFT on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. My name is Sam Bierenbaum, and on the behalf of Auto Car Club and my co-host Eli Kogan, we wish you a great rest of your day. And don't forget, no matter where you are, take some time, grab your keys, and go for a drive.